Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to this special presentation of Cowboy State Politics. On today's edition of Crosstalk Live on the Independence Network, Mark Jennings announced his run for Senate District 22. He'll be running in that race against Poisonberry Crago. Also, Sheridan County favorite Dr. Tom Kelly announced his run for House District 30. That's the seat that Mark Jennings will be vacating so that he can run for the Senate. My pals, Ken Pendergraft and I, had a chance to sit down with both Mark Jennings and Tom Kelly to talk about their announcement. I'm going to play that entire episode of Crosstalk Live for you in just a second. But first, a couple of program notes that I want to make you aware of. Don't miss tomorrow's installment of Weekend Update, where I get to the bottom of this whole Reed Raisner endorsement controversy that's been brewing for the last couple of weeks. I have the documents in hand, along with a couple of sound bites to go along with them. That'll happen on tomorrow's installment of Weekend Update. Also, coming next week on Wednesday's program, an outstanding interview with Harmeet Dhillon. If you're unfamiliar with Harmeet Dhillon, she is the lawyer principally responsible for keeping President Trump on the Colorado ballot. She also ran against Ronna McDaniel for the chairmanship of the Republican National Committee. It is a great interview, and you definitely don't want to miss that. So that'll happen next Wednesday. With all of the announcements out of the way, here's our discussion with Representative Mark Jennings and Tom Kelly.
It's time once again for Crosstalk Live. Joining me in the studio, in Ken's studio, is our pal Ken Pendergraft. How's it going, Ken?
Pretty well. See the links that you guys have to go to get me on the show?
I know. You have to build your own studio again.
Well, I get an email today that says, we're meeting at 5 o'clock in your studio. You might want to be there.
Yeah, you might want to. And of course, from Southern Wyoming, Joey Correnti. How's it going, Joey?
Oh, no complaints. It's been that beautiful day we talked about this morning on the morning show, and seeing you guys here and looking around the studio cam, I see our special guests, and I'm real excited to be here today. So I say we just cut through the crap and get on to it.
Fair enough. Well, it is the first official day of the filing period, May 16th, and in Wyoming, the last 2 weeks of May is the period in which you can file to run for public office, and that includes all public offices, except for boards, right? You have to wait to file for a board position.
I don't know. I've never done it.
Yeah, well, you know, I just got appointed to the dump board. Yeah. I mean, a fitting place for me. So joining us in the studio, we have Representative Mark Jennings. Mark, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on today. It's a privilege and an honor to be with the actual media for Wyoming.
Well, we'll take that. Mark, there's a lot of candidates that have announced. There's some that still haven't. And in House District 40, in the Senate District, Barry Crago has announced that he's going to run for Senate District 2, right?
22.
I never really paid any attention to our Senate District because it was Kinski. I knew what I was getting. But Representative Barry Crago is going to run for Senate District 22, and I hear that you have an announcement.
Well, I do. I'm actually filing for Senate District 22, so I guess if Representative Crago files for that, he will be my opponent.
Excellent. You've spent a lot of time in the House, and you know, after you hang around for a while, you want something new, I guess, huh?
Well, I've spent 10 years in the House, and that's longer than what I thought I would be there. But the fight is the people of Wyoming are worth fighting for. And so I feel like that that's important. And now that this Senate district has opened up, I feel like that it's important to try and continue on with the same vein of trying to stand up for constitutional rights, the Republican Party platform. Our neighbors do not have a lot of voice for the people, and so that's why I'm putting my name in the hat for that.
Excellent. Joey?
Well, I think we're being a little kind of monotone and laid back on this. This is a huge announcement. This is a big freaking deal, at least in my eyes. And maybe I'm reading it the wrong way, but you hold a fairly senior position in the House, Representative Jennings. But you don't get treated with that traditional seniority of, you know, having multiple committees, chairmanships. You know, I think that if you had stuck around and run for the House again and handily won your race as you usually do, you'd be a shoo-in for Speaker. But I can't help but think it's not just the vacancy drawing you over to the Senate or your willingness and success serving the people, but almost also as a defensive position based on who the other not yet official but previously announced candidate might be. And I don't know what your posture on that's going to be, but I'll tell you, the three of us on this network, we have very well documented and legitimate issues and concerns about Barry Crago. So I don't know how you want to handle any of the situations with your opponent, but the bottom line is I'm ecstatic that it's not just going to be a giveaway to a rhino lawyer who lies to just about everybody and seems to think that the Constitution is what we say it is until a court tells us otherwise. So I'm ecstatic to hear that you're running.
Well, thank you, Joy. I appreciate that, and kind of over the top there with your accolades, but
I don't think so.
Well, I have enjoyed working for the people of House District 30, and that is part of what plays into it. Is I don't want to see this Senate district go to. We all felt like that Senator Kinski was more moderate, and this would be going left, and I think we can prove that with the voting record. I intend to point out my voting record as opposed to his. And I think it speaks for itself. You know, I'm proud to have served and tried to stand up for the people of Wyoming.
Well, we're awfully glad that
we will gladly be. Sorry, Ken, go ahead.
Sorry, so we're awfully glad to have somebody go up there that can actually whoop Crago, and I'm delighted to see that. We have a big hole in the House, though. I'll tell you one thing that I won't miss. Is you've been there for 10 years, and you got that badge that looks like you drug it behind the car for 4 years. And it'd be nice to see you in the shiny new badge.
We'll see if we get some war scratches on that one, too.
But before we go back to the rest of what I was leading, you must have a plan. You always have a plan. Give me two or three things you're going to work on when you get to the Senate. Is there anything you can do better there than you could in the House?
Well, I think one of the main things that I have as a goal is that there is a chasm kind of between the House and the Senate. And I have a lot of very good friends in the House of Representatives, and very kind of sad to leave them and move to the other chamber. But I feel like that this is an opportunity to be a liaison and work back and forth for the people of Wyoming, and try and see to it that that communication of working on really constitutional, the Republican Party platform issues, is not lost because there's a lack of communication between the two. The issues for me are basically the same. Listen, we're pillaging the people of Wyoming when we don't need to. We're putting money in savings, for crying out loud, and we're taking money out of people's savings. Just property taxes are they're horrendous. And so that's a high priority for me, is that we actually get some real reform. And my opponent, he actually, House Bill 45, locked in historically high tax rates. The bill, in the end, I voted for it because we actually did some improvements to it that actually would help the people for a short time. But we need some real reform, and we need somebody that will continue to stand for the people of Wyoming, not for the government.
Okay, so let's hold on right there, because Wyoming citizens have been told over and over that the legislation that was passed in this past budget session really was reform. That's the narrative coming out of their side. Explain that for me. Why is what was passed not reform, and what are the differences? What do you want to do if you are successful in getting to the Senate?
I will run acquisition, property reform, acquisition tax so that we do not any longer use the fake methodology of fair market value, which is not honest to the people around them. Acquisition would be like Prop 13 so that it was based upon what you paid, what the fair market actually was capable of producing for that property. And so the reform to that is that we go to a much more honest and much more fair amongst the people rather than this CAMA system, this mechanism that the local county people can manipulate if they so choose. I'm not saying that they do that all the time, but I'm saying it's a problem. And it's we need reform. We need a better methodology of being honest with our citizens. And so 45, it actually codified the highest property taxes that we've ever had in Wyoming by far. 2 years ago, I think it raised an extra $504 million above what it was the high property taxes the year before. And this year will be something similar to that, I'm sure, when the numbers come out. And so to codify that and put that in the books as that's okay, it's not okay. We're putting hundreds of millions of dollars in savings while our people are hurting and unnecessarily.
Joey, I want to get you in here for a little bit.
Yeah, I do too. Thanks. Well, I just kind of want to tag on to something Mark said, and maybe he can expand on it. You said what we had is not really reform, and I absolutely agree with you, specifically on the point of the mechanisms weren't really reform, but there was a sundown on everything. None of it lasted longer than a budget session, so all of it would be done by 2027 at the latest, and that would be like saying, you know, civil rights reform in 1963 was everybody has civil rights until 1965, and that's reform, or yeah. Suffrage reform was women get to vote for 2 years. So what is the real end goal? You said acquisition value. I'm assuming you're talking about a permanent standing where when you buy your home, a tax bill is generated saying you owe this much over a period of time, you pay all of this at the time of sale, you pay this every year in perpetuity. How does the acquisition value not just set the number for the tax, but how is that tax, assessed and billed by the county? Is it going to be every year you're paying a portion of a total number? Is it you're paying a percentage of what you bought your house for every year in perpetuity? What does that really look like for reform?
So on the reform part of that, it would be that what you paid the purchase price of that property, hence acquisition, and then there would be an escalator. I would prefer 2%, but it might be as high as 3%, that would account for inflation and things that we have, you know, going on in our economy. And then that would be the most that it could be. So you would every year, you would know that it could not go up more than 2 or 3%. So if you gave $100,000 for your property or $1 million, you would know what the tax was, what that percentage is, 9.5. And then you cannot see these huge 30 and 40% increases. That's only one thing that there's talk about ways of, I actually ran amendments that would have taken spending policy, if we get it into the reform category, and we would put a spending policy in place, take the surplus and buy down the property tax mills for schools. That buys us some time to then reform how we do our school budgeting. And it also gives, again, stability of some reform. It buys us time to figure that out. Ultimately, I'm opposed to the property tax mechanism the way we have it, because you never own your property. And so there'd be a place where I would like to see us move away from that. And that's what I'm talking about with some of the reforms. There's lots of ideas that just for me, I've been working on the acquisition for 3-4 years, and so I'm going to continue moving that forward if I'm in the Senate.
Ken?
Yeah, so Mark, you and I have had many conversations on the side just kind of dreaming, and one of the issues is that always comes up is as you get older and you've been paying property taxes for many years, you feel like you're just kind of renting from the government.
You are.
And there's a concept called allodial. If you don't know what that means, I suggest you look it up. But essentially, what an allodial style tax means, at a certain point after you paid enough taxes, you own your property, period, outright. You're done. Any thoughts on that?
Well, again, that's a picture of reform that should be talked about. Now, I think it's not an easy thing to move over to that. Harshman's House Bill 203 made a mention of taking sales tax up in it and doing away with property tax, although his bill didn't really do away with property tax, so it would have come back and bit us. But the concept of not continually renting from the government is one that we really, really in Wyoming should be looking at. Now, the allodial, it brings in some other things that you want to be cautious with, in my opinion, but it certainly should be on the table for debate. And that concept of getting away from renting your property, we really should be looking at.
All right, now you've done a lot of work on property taxes in your time in the legislature, but there's also a number of other topic areas that you've attacked, one of which is our Second Amendment rights, firearms. So are you going to continue to push new firearms legislation should you get to the Senate?
You know, there's a concept of there's a gun group out there that likes to run gun legislation just to raise money on. And I'm not fond of that notion at all. Really, Wyoming should be the best gun-friendly state in the Union. We have more guns per capita than any other state by far, which I think is a great thing. I would be, and I probably will be, for strengthening some of the things that we have, some of the penalties and stuff that we have on the SAPA bill. We could go back and pick up some things there in the same way on the red flag bill. But as far as new legislation, I'm not really aware of a lot more needs, just to be more supportive of our gun rights and to be supportive of our gun industry. I am totally in favor of that.
Now, the guy that you're running against, you and he tangled in the Judiciary Committee over one of these issues. Why don't you go ahead and talk about that?
Well, I think you're over the credit cards or the red flag, which one you want.
I think it was the credit card bill that I remember.
Yeah, I don't have that one directly in front of me, and I was trying to look at that today and refresh my memory to that. The credit cards, he was opposed to allowing us to have some safety measures in place for the gun purchases, and he was for taking that away and with some amendments, and obviously I'm not going down that road.
Well, and it's amazing to me because a lot of these redcoats, they tell their constituents, you know, they're fully in support of guns, they don't like taxes, and they're conservative. In fact, that's what Barry Crago says all the time. But when it comes down to it, you know, putting penalties on a bill, on a gun bill that would protect citizens, yeah. And literally, that would have prevented credit card companies from tracking gun purchases.
Right.
And you tried to put an amendment on it to add some penalties to it. And you can see him clear as day on the YouTube video voting against that. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that that's a clear distinction.
Yeah, we don't want them tracking gun owners or gun purchases at all. I'm totally opposed to that.
Joey, what do you got?
Well, as I watched most of the session, I don't have a whole lot of questions because I've already got the answers in my head. And I'm thinking about our audience and what else would they want to hear. And I think one of the questions, kind of in line with things that I talk about a lot, is when you step into a new position or you step out of a position or you miss three meetings and get kicked out of your precinct seat, the first thing that happens is you create a vacuum. And I know you're not one to just leave a hole behind unattended. So do you have any plans, or is there something lined up for someone to come in and run for the House seat that you currently occupy with your support and blessing?
Boy, Joey, that's a wonderful question, and I would not be for leaving House District 30 that I've worked in for 10 years and hopefully continue to work in Senate District 22 without having somebody that I really admired and thought would do a good job and fight for freedom.
Somebody you look up to.
Somebody I look up to.
Yeah.
I think most people look up to this guy, and rightfully so. So I'm going to throw my endorsement, and I think he's going to do his own announcement here in a minute, but I'm going to totally endorse Tom Kelly. I think he's going to do a great job.
Now, also joining us on the program is Tom Kelly. Tom, take it away.
Well, hello, guys. It's been very difficult to sit here quietly this whole time.
You did a great job.
What's that?
You did a great job, though.
Oh, okay, yeah. That takes a talent for me. We already started off with a tall joke. Well, I've got to say that I had no idea this was coming. So so-called mainstream media, when you talk about like smoke-filled rooms, Mark and I don't smoke or that type of thing, I am on a Harley trip across the country. I am in Nashville, Tennessee right now. I was in Washington, D.C. when I got a call from the Jennings family. I was completely stunned and then humbled. I was just in awe of the fact that, and go ahead and make more tall jokes, but we have some big shoes to fill in the House. Mark Jennings became a titan in the House who was set to be the next speaker, and he's giving that up because we can't lose that Senate seat to the Democrats. Let's be honest, that Craigo's a Democrat. He just wears the R so he can win. He votes with the Democrats. He's a Democrat. So Mark decided that this can't happen. And then he thought of the people he knew who could possibly fill his shoes. And he thought of the guy with the biggest feet. He thought of somebody else that he knew personally, who's been living in Sheridan, been living in House District 30 for many years now, knows the people, knows the customs, and knows the right way to go on policy and issue. The fact that he picked me just left me kind of speechless for a while. So we talked about this a couple days ago, but we wanted to wait until today to make things official together. I'm really looking forward to filing to win Republican nomination for House District 30 in Wyoming. Now, I will be making that filing very, very shortly, pretty much after we finish up with this interview, gentlemen. Mark, thank you so much. I will do the best I can not to let you or our district down.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I've known you for a long time, and it's a privilege to have worked around you. You've been around campaigning a couple of times, and I've been a privilege for me to call you my friend.
Thanks, Mark. I'm glad I'm friends with your entire family. They're great people. And I have to get ahead of this because I'd imagine having like talked to some reporters at the state convention recently, I was asked if I was going to run for office this time around. And I was honest. I said, I have no plans whatsoever to run for anything. I don't even really want to. And then when Mark came to me and talked to me about this, everything fell into place, and it felt like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is why I was feeling aimless on it. I'm not much of a politician. I'm not somebody who seeks power and authority and responsibility, but I am somebody when my family, my friends, my community ask me to step up and do something, absolutely. So this is something to protect Sheridan County, to protect the state of Wyoming, and to actually have a true majority of conservatives in both chambers of the legislature. So when Gordon does veto a bunch of good legislation again, this time we override it.
Well, let's kind of go around the table and talk about this a little bit. Ken?
I got to admit that I'm pretty thrilled. I got a phone call some years ago. Mark calls me, and it's about this time of year, and he says, hey, I need a favor. Oh, sure, what do you need? I need you to run. So I can relate, Tom, to a little bit of that feeling. And it is flattering when somebody that you look up to and that you respect comes and says, you know, you can do this, you can do a good job, and then begins to share his wisdom. And I appreciate that. But I also take a certain degree of pride, right or wrong, in your being in this race, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm one of the first people to approach you and try to bring you into the circle, so to speak. And it's a good thing when people that you respect, in my case, people like Mark and everybody else here, look at somebody that you kind of flagged and picked out and say, yeah, that's a good one. It's reaffirming. And I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, Tom, do the work every day. It's worth it. At the time, it may not seem like it, but you do that work and you get there. And I don't know how many times I've walked up to Mark on the house floor and said, you did this to me. And I want you to be there to feel that.
Joey?
Well, I'm going to step on the other side. Obviously, I've got a good relationship with Tom. We do a show together every week, and I don't have a whole lot of questions for him. I pretty much know his mind and get to talk to him whenever I want. But I'm looking. Today's roster of registered candidates have come up on the Secretary of State's website, and so far, no one has put in their name for House District 30, which is the seat currently held by Representative Jennings. So I'm wondering, you guys all live in the area. Mark, you currently hold the seat. Tom, you're running for the seat. Have you heard of any potential? I mean, nobody knows that this is happening yet. Mark is going to be running for the Senate. Tom's going to be running for that House seat. Do you think there's any potential challengers out there, or is somebody going to have to scramble in the next 2 weeks to get a challenger in before the filing period closes?
I would not be surprised if somebody else filed for this seat because, as we know, the Wyoming caucus want to hold on to control of the legislature. The Senate, and I have full confidence he'll win, that this is an open seat. And open seats tend to attract more challengers. What I'm hoping is we don't have something like happen in the superintendent race happen in 2022, where I filed first after Mr. Schrader had shown not too much interest in continuing on after his appointed term. And then 4 weeks later, he filed. Then suddenly we had two known conservatives and a question mark with Megan Degenfelder, who I've honestly got to say is I've been happy with what she's done so far. But back then, again, the conservatives looked like we shot ourselves in the foot again. And that was the race about a month before the actual election day. I just dropped out of it altogether to give the conservative side the best chance to win. I fully expect to see somebody who is aligned with the Wyoming caucus to come after me, because what I do well with moderate voters, even though my policies are and my ideas are very conservative, I don't know, maybe it's the way I present myself. Maybe it's the fact that I'm a long-haired biker or I work in education. Maybe it throws the scent off that I'm actually conservative. But I'm really hoping we don't have somebody who's got these aspirations to take Mark's seat as soon as he steps down, because I don't want somebody representing me who desperately wants that power. I know it sounds a little hypocritical, but I kind of feel like we should give power to those who want it the least. And I have had no aspirations to run for legislature. Again, I've been called by my community, because I know Mark doesn't make this decision in a vacuum. He talks to the people around him first. I've been called to do this. And I'd welcome a challenger. I think we'll do just fine anyway. It'll make more work, more expenses for me, but I think whoever is going against me would just be flushing money.
Well, I think we've got a real chance here to, one, maintain House District 30 with some good conservative representation. And I think that we've got a great opportunity to pick up Senate District number 22. And I'm going to consider that one a flip, because with Kinski, you only get one good year out of four. And it just so happened this last session was the good year. So it'd be really nice to have a conservative in that seat that, you know, has a consistent voting record. Somebody that we know is going to vote down the line conservative. And, you know, as far as House District 30, Tom, I think you're a great choice for that. And I know you pretty well, and I know that you've got a lot of conservative policies, and you know you'll be a solid vote for the conservatives as well. Campaigning wise, guys, you know, why don't you just tell people how you're going to campaign? We'll start with you, Mark. What are you going to do? How can people get a hold of you? What's the plan?
Well, my campaign phone number is the same as it is for House District 30. And I'm actually giving out my personal one, too, 307-752-6819. Take a lot of phone calls, so if you don't get a hold of me the first time, leave a message because I will get back to you. I intend to go out at least five nights a week, probably two nights in Sheridan County and three nights a week at least in Johnson County. I'm hoping that I don't know. We'll get back to the tall jokes. I don't know if I can keep up with Tom, but I want to walk the district with him at least one night a week, and I think that's the whole thing. We're going to put out mailers. We want people to look at my voting record. We want them to look at, because Barry has a voting record also. They should look at that. That is the record. The best. You can get in representation is to have an informed populace. And so that's, I intend to inform them as much as possible.
What about you, Tom? Do you have a plan yet already, or are we too soon in this little venture?
Well, this is really soon, but obviously I'm going to be hitting the pavement with Mr. Jennings. And we plan on attending some events together too. But as far as like a campaign website, campaign phone number, that is all stuff I will put in the works immediately after firing. I want to do that first. And I will definitely be back on the Independence Network regularly to talk about these things. Right, Joey?
Oh, without a doubt. You're not allowed to get off that easy just because you're campaigning.
Fair enough. Well, guys, thank you very much for coming on the program. Let's kind of go around the table one more time and sort of wrap this up. Start with you, Joey.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate you joining us. I'm, like I said, ecstatic to hear the news. Going to do everything we can to make sure this goes well, especially for the Senate side. No disrespect, Tom, but I'm looking at five seats, one that needs to flip, three that are open that we can almost wash on as long as you guys win. The other two, we don't need to, you know, necessarily stave off the people that are running for Senate District 8, which was Senator Ellis's seat, or Senate District. We could probably lose 14, even if we have to deal with Albert Summers, as long as Mark is in Senate District 30 and representing that spot, we'll be okay. And then the last one I'm looking at is Senate District 30. If we can keep Charlie Scott in office, we actually end up with gains. If all five of these go our way, the Senate becomes extremely conservative. And I think that's one of the reasons we're going to see a lot of focus on the Senate during this very cantankerous race coming up in 2024, because I believe the Wyoming caucus has given up on the insanity of the House and they are focusing on establishing a dominance in the Senate. So these races are important. This race is very important. And what it really should come down to, especially because it's most likely getting decided in the primary, is remembering what a primary election is. It is not a pre-general election. It is the nomination for the Republican candidate for the general election. So what we need to be looking for is the person that embodies Republican values and conservative principles the most across the state of Wyoming. And I would say if that is the standard, then Mark, you don't need to even campaign because it's obvious. And we're going to do everything we can to bring the facts and data on these two candidates to you so you can make your own decision. But I think it's fairly obvious what needs to happen here.
Hey guys, I want to jump in right here. It is almost 7 p.m. here in Nashville, and apparently the Wi-Fi is getting really hoarded now by a lot of people streaming and all sorts of things, and my internet connection is going in and out. So before I lose it again, I got disconnected and I lost you guys for about 30 seconds. I want to say, Mark, thanks again for having faith in me. I'll do the best I can not to let you down. Gentlemen, thank you for having me on here. And I'll try to get safely back to Sheridan, Wyoming within a week or so on my bike.
Excellent. Ken?
I kind of had two things. One is the more conservatives we have in either the House or the Senate, the more that people who tend to be centrists tend to be swayed one way or the other. And there's a tipping point, and then there's a major tipping point. And I think we're at a place of probably introducing big change to how the legislature in Wyoming has operated. And right now I don't remember the second thing, and I've spoken enough anyway.
Mark?
Well, I think that's a good point. I think the concept of us, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? We have to follow the Constitution, the things that we swear an oath to. We have to respect those people, those constituents that we're supposed to be representing. And so if we do that and we follow that precept that our founders have put in place, and it's the best in the world. I mean, bar none, it's just a really good form of government. And we are right there. I anticipate that we're going to take the House and the Senate this time. Very honored to have Tom, you know, as a friend and somebody that I think is going to do, and happy to endorse him every chance I get. And so I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good day for Wyoming, for the people of Wyoming, and they're the ones that count. They're worth fighting for.
I'm glad to hear that. Your endorsement meant a lot to me last time. I was endorsed by you and you alone, and my opponent with a lot more money was endorsed by the governor and the whole long list on down there. For what it's worth, Tom, you have my unfailing endorsement as well, and I look very much forward to helping you out in your campaign in any way that I possibly can. If God is kind and prevents anybody from running against me, my good right arm is at your side.
By the way, you still have my endorsement too, Ken.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, it's just endorsements all around. Joey and I need one now.
Well, you guys are the best media in the state of Wyoming.
I haven't endorsed them yet. I endorsed Ken and Mark there. It doesn't mean anything, but sure.
Well, that'll do it for today's installment of Crosstalk Live. Thanks to our guests, Representative Mark Jennings, soon to be Senator Mark Jennings, Dr. Tom Kelly, soon to be Representative Tom Kelly, of course, Representative Ken Pendergraft, Joey, and myself. Have a good night. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this special presentation of Cowboy State Politics. One more little reminder. Don't miss Weekend Update tomorrow. Don't miss next Wednesday's interview with Harmeet Dillon. For now, from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.